good evening, and thank you for joining me on my podcast. It is important that I do a good talk when I am before you, because words have power. Anything that comes out of your mouth should be something that builds up and something that is suited to the occasion. And I pray for grace from God as I create these podcasts, and I hope that I am helping instead of confusing. This is the reason, O Father in heaven, that I have interrupted my podcast about Ezra and restoration, because my intent was to use it to connect the repentance in the Lenten season with the repentance that was required by God's people in the book of Ezra, and a coming together, a unification, was the purpose of all of the travel back to Jerusalem, and it was never really accomplished. And I pray that my words will have a unifying purpose, a unifying effect upon the people who listen to me. All the words that come out of our mouths should be good for building up and fit for the occasion. And that may they give grace to those who hear. Words have power. It affects everything around you. That's why you must be careful not to pollute another's thoughts with things that are personal to you. By choosing your words, you may cause others to take out your worries as their own, and you may end up reinforcing your concerns that are in your own mind. So I don't want to do that to anyone. I want to have a good effect on you. I don't want anything negative to become contagious. And I don't want to voice worries that are from someone else. I want to uplift you and people around you. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, but through His strength, in other words. Oh God, will make a way. Comes from 1 Corinthians 10:13. I believe, and I'll see the goodness of the Lord in this world. Psalm 27:13. Whatever fits the occasion. In saying good things, you'll be building up the faith of others as well as your own. Lord, help me to speak good words from your wisdom, instead of making my worries have an impact upon someone else. Make me a builder, not a wrecker. Amen. Because God is always in action. He's always helping us to do the proper thing. Remember, we all stumble, every one of us. That's why it's a comfort to go hand in hand. God takes this further in Ecclesiastes 4:12 by telling us, by yourself you're unprotected. With a friend you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A third stranded rope isn't easily snapped. A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. God makes this idea even more powerful. He says, when two pray, our Father God goes into action, and when believers are together in Jesus' name, we can be certain He's right in the thick of things. So stress less by grabbing a believer or two by the hand and tapping to the comfort and strength a duo or threesome provides. Expect God to join you and watch Him go into action. So here we go, Lord, hoping that I'm reaching more than one or two, and maybe three or four. Amen. As we move into action toward restoration. But I ask you that you would forgive me, because the task of talking about the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, and Some of Chronicles was a daunting mammoth task that was much too difficult, and it was much too much more involved than I thought it would be. And so I'm trying to correct that. Took down that old podcast, and I'm trying to go at it from another angle. Be patient with me, because as I said, I am learning as I am trying to teach. I'm sharing the things that I'm learning with you. Amen. Thank you for your understanding. And I would like to talk about just a few things tonight. And one of them is how we should be patient. How we should be patient, and how we should have patient faith. And that is one of the things that was not evident in this undertaking of Ezra, because there were too many people left in Jerusalem who did not go into captivity when Babylon was under captivity. Many of the grandchildren were left there, and so when Ezra returned, and Zerubbabel, trying to reunite the people and restore the temple, they were complaining that it wasn't anything like what they had known before. And so there was a big clash, I guess, of the minds, and nothing was ever really accomplished. And that's the daunting task that I talked about, because I have to realize there were three separate books that I was talking about. There was Chronicles, and then there was Ezra, and then there was Nehemiah. And all of them should be taken together in some aspects. And people don't really know who wrote Chronicles or who wrote Ezra and Nehemiah. So there's really, the writings are similar, but there's no proof of it being Ezra. But we do know that there was a proclamation from the kings to go back and restore the temple. And that was what I got hung up on, the restoration process. So we can try to go back and restore the things that we have lost, but God in His timing will do that. But it has to be something that's sanctioned by God. And Ezra was saying God had told him to do these things, especially telling the men and women who had married women outside of their particular ethnicity. He was telling them to go and get a divorce, but God never really sanctions divorce. And that was one of the big problems, telling the husbands and wives to divorce, along with the fact that the temple was not exactly, wasn't restored to its former state, to the satisfaction of the children of the exiles who had gone into captivity. And so we had no restoration proper. There was an attempt to restore the faith and the unity that was once present, but what I am reading and understanding is it was a failed effort when you look at it overall. So complicated books, a complicated trilogy, and I'm trying to apologize to you for trying to get it over to you before I really understood enough. And I have to admit, I do make mistakes, but it must go on, and it's a learning process. I thank you for being available to listen to my podcast. And you may write your comments at the end of the broadcast. There is a place for you to write your comments, and I welcome your critiques. Father in heaven, I appreciate this time that you've given me and the will that you've given me to try to redo this podcast about Ezra, Nehemiah, and some chronicling. I'm not fully understanding all of the parts of this segment, but I did attempt to do it because I wanted to compare the fact that Ezra's attempt was unification and faith, building faith again, and that is what we do when we are in the Lenten season. We want to restore and we want to repent. So I pray that we will find repentance in our hearts, because in Ezra, Nehemiah, it was the heart that had been broken, and the hearts needed to be repaired and fully restored, and it was never really accomplished. So we can do this on our own without looking at the book of Ezra. We look at our lives, and we look at the choices that we make, and we look at our relationships with those around us, and we say, could I make this better? Is it me that I need to change before I can try to change someone else? And I know that this great prophet, Michael Jackson, did say, the change begins with me, and the change begins with you as well. So we must change ourselves and our thinking before we can change anybody else's heart. Change our hearts, and we change the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for listening. Good evening, and thank you for joining me on my podcast. It is important that I do a good talk when I am before you, because words have power. Anything that comes out of your mouth should be something that builds up and something that is suited to the occasion. And I pray for grace from God as I create these podcasts, and I hope that I am helping instead of confusing. This is the reason, O Father in heaven, that I have interrupted my podcast about Ezra and restoration, because my intent was to use it to connect the repentance in the Lenten season with the repentance that was required by God's people in the book of Ezra. And a coming together, a unification, was the purpose of all of the travel back to Jerusalem. And it was never really accomplished. And I pray that my words will have a unifying purpose, a unifying effect upon the people who listen to me. All the words that come out of our mouths should be good for building up and fit for the occasion. And they may give grace, may they give grace to those who hear. Words have power. It affects everything around you. That's why you must be careful not to pollute another's thoughts with things that are personal to you. By choosing your words, you may cause others to take out your worries as their own, and you may end up reinforcing your concerns that are in your own mind. So I don't want to do that to anyone. I want to have a good effect on you. I don't want anything negative to become contagious. And I don't want to voice worries that are from someone else. I want to uplift you and people around you. we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, through His strength, in other words. Oh God, we'll make a way. Comes from 1 Corinthians 10:13. I believe and I'll see the goodness of the Lord in this world. Psalm 27:13. Whatever fits the occasion. In saying good things, you'll be building up the faith of others as well as your own. Lord, help me to speak good words from your wisdom instead of making my worries have an impact upon someone else. Make me a builder, not a wrecker. Amen. Because God is always in action. He's always helping us to do the proper thing. Remember, we all stumble. Every one of us. That's why it's a comfort to go hand in hand. God takes this further in Ecclesiastes 4:12 by telling us, by yourself you are unprotected. With a friend you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A third stranded rope isn't easily snapped. A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. God makes this idea even more powerful. He says, when two pray, our Father God goes into action. And when when believers are together in Jesus' name, we can be certain He's right in the thick of things. So stress less by grabbing a believer or two by the hand and tapping to comfort and strength a dual or threesome provides. Expect God to join you and watch Him go into action. So here we go, Lord, hoping that I'm reaching more than one or two and maybe three or four. Amen. As we move into action toward restoration. But I ask you that you would forgive me, because the task of talking about the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, and some of Chronicles was a daunting mammoth task that was much too difficult, and it was much too much more involved than I thought it would be. And so I'm trying to correct that. Took down that old podcast, and I'm trying to go at it from another angle. Be patient with me, because as I said, I am learning as I am trying to teach. I'm sharing the things that I'm learning with you. Amen. Thank you for your understanding. And I would like to talk about just a few things tonight. And one of them is how we should be patient. How we should be patient, and how we should have patient faith. And that is one of the things that was not evident in this undertaking of Ezra, because there were too many people left in Jerusalem who did not go into captivity when Babylon was under captivity. Many of the grandchildren were left there, and so when Ezra returned, and Zerubbabel, trying to reunite the people and restore the temple, they were complaining that it wasn't anything like what they had known before. And so there was a big clash, I guess, of the minds, and nothing was ever really accomplished. And that's the daunting task that I talked about, because I have to realize there were three separate books that I was talking about. There was Chronicles, and then there was Ezra, and then there was Nehemiah, and all of them should be taken together in some aspects. And people don't really know who wrote Chronicles or who wrote Ezra and Nehemiah. So there's really the writings are similar. but there's no proof of it being Ezra. But we do know that there was a proclamation from the kings to go back and restore the temple. And that was what I got hung up on, the restoration process. So we can try to go back and restore the things that we have lost, but God in His timing will do that. But it has to be something that's sanctioned by God. And Ezra was saying God had told him to do these things, especially telling the men and women who had married women outside of their particular ethnicity. He was telling them to go and get a divorce, but God never really sanctions divorce. And that was one of the big problems, telling the husbands and wives to divorce, along with the fact that the temple was not exactly, wasn't restored to its former state, to the satisfaction of the children of the exiles who had gone into captivity. And so we had no restoration proper. There was an attempt to restore the faith and the unity that was once present, but what I am reading and understanding is it was a failed effort when you look at it overall. So complicated books, a complicated trilogy, and I'm trying to apologize to you for trying to get it over to you before I really understood enough. And I have to admit I do make mistakes, but must go on, and it's a learning process. I thank you for being available to listen to my podcast, and you may write your comments at the end of the broadcast. There is a place for you to write your comments, and I welcome your critiques. Father in heaven, I appreciate this time that you've given me and the will that you've given me to try to redo this podcast about Ezra, Nehemiah, and some chronicling. I'm not fully understanding all of the parts of this segment, but I did attempt to do it because I wanted to compare the fact that Ezra's attempt was unification and faith, building faith again. And that is what we do when we are in the Lenten season. We want to restore and we want to repent. So I pray that we will find repentance in our hearts, because in Ezra, Nehemiah, it was the heart that had been broken, and the hearts needed to be repaired and fully restored, and it was never really accomplished. So we can do this on our own without looking at the book of Ezra. We look at our lives and we look at the choices that we make, and we look at our relationships with those around us, and we say, could I make this better? Is it me that I need to change before I can try to change someone else? And I know that this great prophet Michael Jackson did say, the change begins with me, and the change begins with you as well. So we must change ourselves and our thinking before we can change anybody else's heart. Change our hearts and we change the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for listening.